Lord, even now we send out the truth. We send out the truth of what we're experiencing here, Lord. We send it out to the lost and to the broken and to the undone, to those that don't know the power of the cross. Lord, we intercede right now for them, Lord. And Lord, as we praise you, Lord, we bring you as the Lamb of God that was slain. Lord, we announce you to the world. We announce that you are the answer, that you are the remedy, that you have provided the sacrifice. Lord, we announce you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that sits upon the throne, the one that is still alive. Lord, we announce you as the Savior, the Redeemer, the Healer, Lord. We announce you. We announce you, Lord, and we release the truth in these moments, Lord, to those that are desperate, to those that are hurting, Lord. We announce Jesus. We announce all that you are and all that you represent. Oh, Lord, we say you are our Savior. You are the Savior of the world. We announce you as Savior of the world. Lord, we thank you, God, that as we worship you and we join others in worshiping you today, that, Lord, something is happening in the heavenly realm, that we are shaking the heavens. Lord, you said that you are shaking what can be shaken, but your kingdom cannot be shaken. And, Lord, we join with those that bring a chorus before you, that we say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy and worthy is the Lamb. Holy and worthy is the Lamb. Holy and worthy are you, Lord. That the name of the Lord is the high tower that you run into and you are saved. We announce you as salvation, Lord Jesus. We announce you as salvation, Lord. For all that will call upon your name. For all that will call upon your name. Lord, we invite by the Spirit, and we invite over the broadcast to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is able to save to the uttermost, to save to the uttermost. You are the Lord. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Healer. You are our Baptizer. We thank you for a new season, Lord. We thank you for the new season. We thank you for the new season, Lord. We're not waiting till we see it in the natural. We see it in the Spirit and we announce it. A new season of freedom. A new season of freedom because of you. And we declare glory to your name, Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is your name. Lord, I thank you your church is aligning to the call of the Spirit. I thank you that we're aligning to your call, to your cry for us. Lord, we cry to you, but our cries meet your cry. The cry of your heart is that we would know you and the power of your love. Lord, let us experience the power of your love in a new dimension, even today, Lord. Even today, Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless us. Bless this service, Lord. Bless the words of my lips, Lord. I just come in all humility, Lord, saying there is no words. Fullness of this, Lord. But by the Spirit. But by the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I Thank you for working in our hearts today and bringing the reality of what we need to know, to be able to acknowledge our Lord and Savior for all he has done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hope you can feel that wherever you are, like we can feel it here. I really don't like acrostics usually, but the Lord gave me one for this season right here. And it's, everybody's heard people call this a pause. A pause in time, and the acrostic comes from that. It's the Passover action. The Passover action, and we'll know more about that today, is uniting our spirits to be empowered. And I know this is the call of the Lord. I know that as we approach Passover, that we are taking the necessary action, and God is taking the necessary action to join us together, uniting our spirits, that we can be empowered by him. And the entire world is being affected by what they call an unknown enemy. And yet, during the season, I hope that you've seen it, that people all over the world they're standing in their windows and they're singing hymns. They're proclaiming the truth of Jesus to each other. They're gathering in hospital lots, and they're singing praises, and they're shouting words of acclamation, and they're encouraging those that are working in the hospital and those that are laying in the hospital, and they're lifting up the name of Jesus with the power of God and the power of his name. And in Brazil, if you saw that one, they were gathering outside their homes and in the street, and they were praying. They were praying to God for redemption. They were praying in front of their doors. They were praying in the middle of the street. Even in our hospital that most of us would go to in this area, Memorial West, twice a day, the nurses are gathering outside of the hospital and taking time to pray. So in the midst of what the enemy thinks that he is bringing that is impossible, we are seeing God bring people together in unity as never before. No man could orchestrate these things. We've tried. We've tried to get people to come into unity to praise. We've tried to get people to come into unity and pray on a different level and to call upon the name of the Lord. But now because of circumstances, the name of the Lord is being shouted to the rooftops. The name of the Lord is being called upon in this season. And so we are seeing God orchestrate this. And we have called a fast for 21 days. And it will come and culminate on Passover. And that's this Wednesday it begins. The Passover season will begin on Wednesday. And we will see our God invade the unseen enemy. And we will see his hand of deliverance. Amen? Amen. At sundown on Wednesday, Passover begins. And for 7 days, God will orchestrate whatever is necessary to cause this virus to be uncovered, so we will be free from this oppressor. Amen. So we know that just what happened to the Israelites as Moses led them with God's specific instructions so long ago, we know that the situation was impossible. We understand that it was a horrible situation that they were in, but God intervened to set his people free from bondage, from oppression, from poverty, from lost identities, from an oppressive ruler. But God has foreseen the oppression of the enemy against his chosen, and he pre-planned a deliverance just like he has pre-planned a deliverance for us. And now, just as he has showed up and he intervened on their behalf, he's going to do the same for us. Amen? So this is a set apart time for the church. We are emerging from this crisis in a different level of trust. That is what God said. I'll preach towards this direction because I can see you. Okay, that's good. Thank you. I have my skeleton crew. Thank you so much. I love you so much and I appreciate you so much. Okay, but it's good to see a face I could look at. Hallelujah. Just as God showed up on their behalf and he redeemed them, Lord, we know that you are coming, God. We know that you are coming and you are redeeming this time. And so today we pause. Today we look at the Passover. Today we examine what really happened, Lord, and what it means to us. So, Lord, we thank you. We set this time aside to look at the symbolism and to look at the truth of all that you've done. And so we declare that we are emerging from this crisis in a level of trust that we have never had before. Lord, that we are being activated as the witnesses needed to the whole wide world, that they will be aware of the things that are important and the things that have no value. And so death has become real. We have heard of many deaths, Lord, and it has become so real. And the importance of life and death is come to light. But Many of us are not aware of everything, all the symbolism that God did when he brought his children out of bondage in Egypt. And we have to prepare ourselves, as they did, for our deliverance. This is the time to know our God, faithful God. This is in Jesus' name. I take authority over this in Jesus' name. I don't even have a problem except for right now, which I take authority over. Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Passover is a living picture of salvation. And he orchestrated everything, just as we're going to see. Together with the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles, Passover is one of the three pilgrim festivals during which the entire population of the Israelites made a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. That was where they went to celebrate these feasts. Passover lasted 7 or 8 days, depending on whether you were a Hasidic or whether you were Reformed, whatever. The rituals commence with the Passover Seder. And so we're going to look how God prepared this for the people that were held in bondage in Egypt. And so the first thing he told them to do was to get rid of all the leaven in their house. It had to be removed. And so it took a lot of preparation. And even today, it takes so much preparation. If you know any Jewish people that look at this and still apply this according to the Old Testament, they remove everything that has any leaven in them in their house. And if they can't remove it all, they put it in a room and they sell their room temporarily to a neighbor or something so that their house is free of the leaven. And then after the Passover, they can buy it back. And so they take it very seriously. They change their dishes so that anything that had anything on it that had leaven on it before will not have any residue. And so they're really serious. Every member of the household gets involved in cleaning this out. Every member of the household of God is to be in preparation right now to clear out anything that is not pleasing to the Lord as we prepare to announce what the Passover really is. And so 4 days before the Israelites were going to be able to exit, they were to take the cleaning of the house and then they were to set aside a lamb. They had to inspect it every day to make sure it didn't have any blemish, that it was pure and perfect in every way. This is a season where we are setting aside and being set aside to inspect the Lamb of God, to see that there is no blemish in him. Jesus is the perfect Lamb. Jesus has nothing missing, nothing broken, and that is what he came to give to us. We are going to seek the Lord like we never have before, and we are going to have the reality of who he is even flow over us as he did today in worship. The reality of who he is, he is making himself known to the people that are crying out and looking at him, coming to him and sitting at his feet. And then they were to slaughter the lamb and use its blood to mark the lintels and the doorposts. They had to sprinkle the blood of the lamb on their house. Now, symbolically, I wore my red jacket today, but I want to encourage you to take a red scarf or a red ribbon or whatever and to put it symbolically on your front door. There are people in other countries and they are putting things in their windows. They are doing things to make people feel better, teddy bears, things like that. I think that Christians should be declaring that this Passover is the time of our freedom from what the enemy has tried to do to us. And I think we need to put red on our front door to declare the Passover is here and the blood of the Lamb is enough. Amen? And so God told the Israelites that when the angel of death came, that he would see the blood on their door and the blood would cause the angel to pass over. And we are believing that this angel of death is going to pass by not only our homes, but as we stand in the gap for others, we are making a way for it to pass by them also. So we apply the blood not only to the house symbolically, but we are applying the blood today in our hearts. We are applying the blood today to our minds. We are applying the blood today to every part of us that has not functioned in agreement with the freedom that blood provided for us. We apply the blood for protection over us and our loved ones and for the nations. And that blood will never lose its power. It never lost its power then, and it's never going to lose its power now. Now, when the midnight on the 15th of Nisan, they were to come and they were to consume the lamb. They didn't just prepare the lamb. They had to cook the lamb a certain way, and then they had to eat all of it. Now, when I looked at that, I said, what in the world that would take? I mean, I don't know what size your lamb was, but you better have a big family if you're going to eat a whole lamb. But that was because God is trying to speak to us in this mystery and say to us, we can't just pick the parts of God's word that we want to eat. We can't just take the parts of Jesus that we like. We have to take the fullness of what he represents as the Lamb. That means that we have to be willing to sacrifice as he sacrificed. That means that we have to partake of the cup of suffering as he did. Not that we have to lay down our lives and die in the physical, but we must lay down our lives and our rights in the spiritual realm. We have to live a sacrificial life before him that shows forth our willingness to be a part of who he is and what he has provided for us. And so we have to consume him on the inside. We have to eat all of him. We have to drink all of him. We have to desire to know him at the very depths of everything that he stands for and what he provided for us. Now, God could have done this any way he wanted to. He could have transported them out of Egypt. He could have picked them up just as easy as he blew upon the water to make a pathway for them. But he didn't, because he wanted the people, his people, to be involved in the process. And right now he is saying to the church, be involved in this process. Be involved in getting ready, preparing yourself to receive, preparing yourself to understand the glory of God and the power of God and the redemption of God. And so we're in this season getting ready to play our role for deliverance, for the deliverance that is on its way.
We have to understand the importance of the blood of the Lamb and what all of this means. So when they prepare the meal, then the women, they come and they light the candles. And that is a depiction of Mary that came in obedience to let Jesus come as flesh and blood and dwell among us. And so he was born of a woman just like us. I think we forget that he was in human flesh like ours. His flesh could bleed. He got tired. He was weary at times. He wept. He was tempted in everything like as we are, but yet without sin. He was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect lamb. Then they begin the dinner, and the first cup is called the cup of sanctification. The sanctification was indicative of getting rid of, taking care of anything that held anything that could rise up within. You understand that the yeast, the leaven could rise up. And the first thing they had to do was to take care of anything. I hope you're taking care of anything that is inside of you that can rise up, that can take you away from the goodness of God, that can take you away from who he really is and from the truth of who he is. And then after taking care of the leaven, then they sat down to drink the fruit of the Lamb. And after the first cup, the Father took three of the pieces of unleavened bread, and he placed them in a special white linen envelope that has three compartments that contain unleavened bread. Then the Father takes the unleavened bread out of the middle compartment, and he breaks it. And he wraps it in a separate piece of linen, and then he hides it. Now, the youngest member of the family asked the Father these four questions. Why is this night distinguished from all other nights? In this night, we eat only unleavened bread. And what that means to us is this. The unleavened bread symbolizes purity. It symbolizes us being free of sin. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says this to the Corinthian church. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, Paul is making a shift happen because he's taking the old as what they did, and he is bringing us into the new and saying, this isn't really anymore about that peace of unleavened bread, but we have to see this as that we are shifting out of that feast into the feast celebrating the very Lamb of God, that we can have the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. We are living in a new season. We are living under grace. We are living under the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we are to live with a sincere heart before him. And so the shift has occurred, but hidden sin in our hearts has to be replaced with godly attributes, and that's what Paul is saying. Then the second question that is asked is this. On all other nights, we eat of any kind of herbs, but this night, only bitter herbs. Why? The bitter herbs that they partake of at the Seder dinner is to remind them of the bitterness of the slavery in Egypt. They were to remember the life that they led under the oppression of the enemy. It was so bitter because they could remember and commemorate the freedom that God brought to them better. In the same way, we must never forget the way we were when we lived in bondage to sin. When we were undone, when we didn't know the salvation of our Lord, when we didn't know God as the great deliverance, the one that has redeemed us from our great oppressor, we are in that place right now of understanding that this is a time of gratefulness. We have to remember where we came from, and we have to remember who we are because of the blood. The third question was this. On all other nights, we do not dip tonight. We only dip once, but tonight we dip twice. Why? So parsley is dipped into salt water twice. And the first dip represents Israel going into the sea and coming out unharmed. But the second dip is for the Egyptian army who followed them into the sea and they got consumed. And so when they dip the second time, they immediately consume it because it is showing forth that the enemy is dead forever that was following you. The one that's chasing you around. So to us, the salt water can represent also our tears of repentance. Our tears when we came into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and we realized the price that he paid for us and we're sorry of our sins. The Red Sea represents our baptism when we run through the water, when we go through the water and we are readied for the promised land. And we remember that we are free from our oppressor and it can rise no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the fourth question. On this night, we all recline on our chairs at the table. Reclining at the chairs, in many Jewish households, they actually sit on the floor and they relax. And why? Why are they so relaxed? Because they are reclining to depict the freedom that they now have. They are reclining because they are no longer slaves and they can relax knowing they are no longer slaves. Their identity has returned as children of God. They're acting out their deliverance from slavery. And at this time, then they take the cup of wine, a second cup, and little drops are spilled on every plate in front of the person, a drop at a time, 10 times, to represent the plagues. The 10 plagues of Egypt and the agony of Egypt and the place of bondage. But the blood has the power to stop the plagues. Amen. So we enter into that place that the Lord has given us. Jesus saw our slavery to the enemy and he declared this to us in Matthew. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Salvation has come and we can rest knowing that he has given us rest from our heavy laden, from the burden of sin, from what we could not redeem ourselves from, he redeems us from. And the third cup is called the cup of redemption. So now we go back to that hidden piece of unleavened bread. In the ceremony, the father breaks off pieces, he takes it out, and he breaks off pieces about the size of an olive, and he passes the pieces around to the table, to each person, and then they drink the third cup with it. That is depiction to us of communion, which we are going to take today. So the three pieces of unleavened bread represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't know that, but we know that. And so the Son, do you see it? Jesus is the one that the Father broke in the ceremony. And then he wrapped in linen and buried. How amazing is that? The very representation of the broken body of our Lord, wrapped in linen and placed in the grave. God foreshadowed every detail for us to recognize the significance of Passover, and this is what we can put our faith on for now. Now, Jesus has come into Jerusalem because it's time for the Passover season. So he knows what is going to happen, and so he sits at the table with his disciples, and he says this to Judas, and he says, "The one who dips with me is the one who will betray me." Now, think about what we just learned, that he dipped the herbs. They knew exactly what was happening. They knew that they were partaking of the Passover dinner. They were representing what had happened to the Israelites
before they got deliverance, but they didn't understand fully what Jesus was trying to convey. So now he's got his disciples sitting at a table, and they are in the middle of a Passover dinner, and he says, "The one who dips with me." Now they were all dipping with him. But he's saying, "The one who dips with me in the bitter herbs, the one that is doing it is the one who is going to betray him." And then as they were eating, Jesus took bread, Matthew 26:26. And he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and then he announced this to them. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In case anybody wondered at that point what all of that was going on in Goshen, that was representing this very moment when Jesus was announcing to them in just a few days, in just actually a few hours, he was going to be the sacrificial lamb, and he said, "Take, eat of this. This is my body." Imagine what the disciples, they had walked with him, they had heard him talk about his crucifixion, but they still weren't getting the full picture. And now Jesus is trying to make it as clear as he can, and he's saying, "This is my body." He didn't just break it, but it says he blessed it when he broke it. And every Jewish person knew exactly what that blessing was going to be, because they said the same blessing every time they partake at the Seder dinner. And they say, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." And so he was foretelling his own resurrection. "Blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Take, eat, this is my body." So he just took the bread, was broken, recited the Jewish tradition at the table, and said God would bring forth the bread of life. That this was about to happen, the bread that was his body. We know that Jesus' body was actually buried in the ground. And like that bread, well, buried in the tomb. And like that bread, on the appropriate holy day, he was buried on the feast day called Unleavened Bread on sundown following the Passover. And on the third day, our Jesus came out of that ground and he became our risen deliverer to everyone that would call upon his name. Amen? Amen. Then Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant," hallelujah, "which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." Now, how clear was this to the disciples? I mean, they're still not going to understand this until this really comes to them later. But he said, this wine, this fruit of the vine is my blood, and it's bringing forth a new and a better covenant, and it is shed for the remission of sins. It means that the sins are not going to have to be revisited over and over again every year. No, once and for all, his blood was going to cover every sin. And so it was a representation of what happened on Goshen, but better. It's a better covenant. It's a better covenant. We don't have to feel the weightiness of sins anymore. Once we have the Lord Jesus Christ and we acknowledge him for who he is, we are free and free indeed. Amen? And so then Jesus said this, and I love this because I know that Jesus is fasting wine. He said in verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Hallelujah.
Jesus is like, now when we drink this, what a day it will be. It will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb when we raise our glasses together and we rejoice over the blood that covered our sins and brought us together as one again with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now we can understand one of the hardest places in Scripture that we didn't understand. In John 6, 53 and 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." They're like, what? Remember, so many people left him then. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. And as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me." And that is the bread that came down from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we are partaking today of the bread of life that will never lose its power. We are joining ourselves with him as we take communion. This is how we are drinking his blood. This is how we are commemorating him. This is how we are eating his flesh, is because we are remembering what he did. We are remembering the price that he paid. We are remembering that we are no longer like those who have symbols, but we have the reality of a life that is lived differently because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that it is representing the very blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, that every single thing is a celebration of our freedom in communion, bought by Jesus, promised to us that whoever eats, drinks his blood and eats his flesh will be able to remember their sins no more. No more. We don't have to worry about them. We're free. It's complete. It's done. Anyone who calls upon his name. And he said, do this often in remembrance of me. Do it often in remembrance of me. This isn't just something we do at church. This past week, I had a attack against my body. What a surprise. And so I have communion elements that I keep at my house. I keep it on purpose. And so I broke open the communion elements and I started taking communion and declaring what it meant over my body and over every part of me and over what is going on for other people. And I recovered. And I want you to know there is power in the acknowledgement of the price that Jesus paid. And when we take communion today, I want you to declare, I want you to receive, I want you to position yourself in the place where you have great expectancy that the Lord is going to move mightily, not only in your life, but in the life of other people. Because we are commemorating this today, as we prepare for the Passover in advance, because it's Sunday and Passover starts Wednesday, but we are commemorating this to remember our Lord as he told us to. Amen? Now, it's sacred. I think that a lot of people have taken the Lord's blood and the price that he paid for granted. Because as Christians, we talk about it covering our sins, but we don't live our life as though it has that much holiness to it. We're not examining the way we live up against the way he wants us to live. We began to think, okay, I'm free. I'm free so I don't have to be in bondage to sin anymore. That's true, but that does not give you freedom to sin. You don't have to be in bondage to sin, meaning you have the grace to live above sin. you have the grace to say no to the enemy. You don't have grace to live your life full of sin and then cry, Lord. You don't. Jesus' price is sacred. It's sacred. The cost of the very sinless one of God. The very lamb that came on purpose to be slain. The very sinless lamb of God was tortured and beaten and bled and broken because he was paying the price for us to know redemption. Redemption is not something that we can take lightly. We have to understand he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from everything that holds us in bondage. But he redeemed us. He redeemed us. And so our life is not our own, the Bible says. But it was bought with a price. And now our life has to be led with the knowledge of Christ. Our life has to be led with him at the forefront of our mind, at the forefront of our decision making. If everyone will come through this time of the pause, this time of the Passover, where we can be united again and empowered by the Spirit. When we live through this, acknowledging him, when we come to the place where we are willing to lay on the floor before him and to acknowledge him and to say, whatever I don't have that pleases you, I want to rise up in your resurrection. And I want to understand the freedom that you have bought because I am going to live my life free of sin and I am going to live it in a way that it pleases you so that it brings freedom to others. People are looking all over the earth for answers. They are. They're looking for the answer against this virus. But Jesus has brought the remedy not only for the virus, but the virus that infects us many times all through our week. The virus that has invaded homes and broken families. The virus that has caused people to have independence away from submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The virus that has caused us to think it's okay to have hatred in our hearts against our brother because they deserve it, because they didn't act the way we thought they should. These are all of the things, the infiltration of the enemy, the infiltration into our mind where we think it's okay not to set time aside for the Lord every day because we're busy. Even if we're busy doing good things, we can't be too busy doing good things that we don't do the connection with God first. So we have to come before him and reconnect on a level with a somber attitude that he is holy, holy, sacred, his price was enough, and that we are living our life connected to him, and we will not let go of that. We will not let go of that. We look to him for our redemption. Now at every table there is a fourth cup. They call this cup Elijah's cup. And there is an empty chair. The youngest person in the family goes out and looks up and down the street to see if Elijah is coming. They're looking to see if he comes to say the waiting is over, the Messiah is near. The Messiah has come. And so they actually have wine in the cup. But Elijah came. And Elijah came in the form of John the Baptist. And he made a way for the Lord. And in his announcement, look how sweet this is. John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He could have called him Prince of Peace. He could have called him the Savior of the world. He could have called him Son of God. But he called him the Lamb of God because the Jewish people would understand the lamb. They would understand what he was saying. They understood that lambs were used for the sacrifice. They understood that at Passover, they were celebrating the blood of the lamb that took away the death angel. That is what he declared. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John was under the anointing of God, and God himself showed up. The Spirit showed up and announced Jesus for who he was, because he is and will always be the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world for us. Hallelujah. Whew. Now, when we take communion, we'll have more understanding of what this really means. They took Passover the night before they experienced the freedom to move into their promised land. But our deliverer is sitting on the throne right now. And we are coming into this season. And we are coming into this place. And many prophets have said Passover is the season where this curse is broken. Passover is the season. But I want to tell you, it's not just the curse of coronavirus. This is the curse being acknowledged as broken once and for all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God has instructed us to fast. He has instructed us to pray, but he has also instructed us to believe. And so when we take communion, we are going to put our faith on this for ourselves and for everyone else. We're going to apply the blood of Jesus over ourselves as the people of God. We are going to, I heard people talking about how so many people have different opinions of why this is even happening. And how could, is God judging America? Is God judging the world? What is happening with this? And everybody has a different opinion. I believe that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we can partake of unity. We can partake of getting rid of who cares about that. We don't even care why this has occurred. All we know is that it is covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, and the power of the blood will never lose its power. Amen. And so we submit ourselves into the plan of Almighty God, and we recognize our inability as we declare his ability. There is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible. This is not impossible with God. In a moment of time, he will show up. In a moment of time, he will turn things around. When they were free, when the Israelites got free through the Passover, we know that the enemy tried to chase them down. And don't think that the enemy won't try to chase us down again. He will try to come. But God has given us the weapons that are needed in our hand that we can stay, know, and stay the enemy. And if we have to raise up the rod of the Lord and open up waters, then we can do it in the name of the Lord our God. And we can walk through on dry ground. Amen? Moses told the people, "Fear not." And that's what I'm saying to you today. Stop fearing and stand still. Stand firm. Stand confident. Stand undismayed and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for. Our God is in the midst of this right now. He already has made a way through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover. He was buried on the day of unleavened bread. But he was raised on the first fruit. He was raised in the first fruit offering. He came out of that grave, and he was the first of many brethren. That means me. That means you. Now, I want to take this time to honor the Lord and to encourage you. I want you to give an offering today to the Lord. I want you to honor him with it. I want you to celebrate him. I want you to celebrate what he's done. I want you to trust him with the offering that you present before him. For some people, this is more sacrificial than it is for others. Because I don't know, I'm going to call all of you who belong to Liberty Life Center. I will be calling you personally. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what you're going through. But if I have your number and we have it on record, I'll be calling you. Because I want to know what you're going through and I want to believe with you for the outcome. But this I know, that God said, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give to you. We understand. Listen, this is how you defeat the enemy. Say, well, this is a weird time to take an offering. No, it's not. This is the best time to take an offering, and this is why. When the enemy comes against you to say the economy is failing, when he comes against you to be the thief, when he comes to steal from you, the way that you beat him in his game is to give to God, proclaiming who he is over your money. It is the way that it works. If you withhold now, you are falling into his trap. If you don't trust God when it looks like you can't trust God, then you need to increase your faith and step out and give, because you're making a declaration in the heavenly realm. You are saying, this is my seed to my God, who is greater than any curse that is being unleashed against me and my finances. Now, I believe that God is going to turn this economy around. I do not believe that we are going to suffer. I believe that we're going to have a landslide. I believe that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I believe that right now there's a transference of wealth that is beginning to happen. And I believe that as we obey the Lord in our heart to honor him with our giving, that he takes note of who's still willing to do that. And so they are giving you the ways to give online and texting and everything else. We can give on our website as well. But we are going to give as a demand to the enemy that he cannot stop our heart of honoring God with everything that we have. Amen? Amen. So God is coming to turn this around for our good. The enemy has come, the oppressor has come to steal from us, to tell us that it's going to be a devastating blow to the economy and we are never going to recover. They're saying this is going to be worse than the Great Depression. Oh, no, it's not. No, it is not. Not according to the Word of God. When salvation came, it includes prosperity. It includes prosperity. Say prosperity. Transference of wealth is happening to those who trust in his name, in Jesus' name, in the power of his name. So lift up your offering today before the Lord, wherever you are, just lift it up and say, Lord, I believe that this is what you want me to do in the face of my oppressor, that you said, well, if I give to you, that you will cause it to multiply back to me. And so to defy the fear that he is trying to place to cause me to withhold, I, by faith, release my offering to you, and I declare your purity, your sovereignty, your ability, Lord. And I believe that I will have more than enough so that I may be the answer to others, that we will declare your name on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to sit at the table with the Lord today as we prepare our celebration of Passover. I want you to prepare your heart before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says this, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He's saying, He's saying this. When you are partaking of communion, you have to partake of everything the Lord provided through his blood and through his body that was broken for you. He's saying, don't do it without acknowledging the fullness of that. And if there's anything inside of you that needs to align with how his greatness is and what he has done, get rid of it, because you can actually drink it and cause yourself to be unwell. You have to, you alone before God can judge your own heart. You know. It says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. So that's the mindset that we have to have as we partake. So as we prepare for Passover, and as we prepare that this current plague is going to have no more effect on us, and as we pray for those besides ourselves and get out of our selfish ways, we need to be willing to clear our hearts and our houses of leaven. Any sin, anything that has distracted you or defeated you, it has to go. And so just as it took effort for them to rid their houses of any leaven, we have to be willing to come before the Lord and rid ourselves today of any leaven that has come into our house, into our hearts, into our homes. And so we're going to pray together. So, Father, you can repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we examine our own heart. And we judge ourselves according to the authority of your word. In any area we have missed the mark, whether it's strife or unforgiveness or jealousy or envy or hatred or covetousness or doubt or fear or worry or unbelief, we take Jesus as our advocate and high priest, and we ask forgiveness according to the word of God. And the word says, you are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sin, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, we acknowledge you as what we're getting ready to partake of, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf, that we acknowledge that he bore our sin, he bore our sickness, he bore our disease, he bore our sorrow, he bore our grief, he took our fear, he eradicated torment, he gave us freedom from unforgiveness, he left us free from strife and from lack, and through his sacrifice, we have complete redemption and total deliverance from the work of Satan. We declare that we are new creations through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we realize that our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed from the power of the enemy. And we declare that the power of the coronavirus and any other virus that has been living in our homes, living in our hearts, living in our minds, is broken. Therefore, we do not eat of the bread or drink of the cup unworthily, but Lord, we rightly discern who you are and what you've done. And so we will receive communion together. As the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we are free from the works of the devil. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but we announce life and life more abundantly in our spirit, in our soul, in our body, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I hope you have prepared at home. I've asked you to prepare the symbols at home. Here, the ones that are here with us have communion in our hands. I have it, thank you. And then we take the bread and we say this. The Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we partake of the bread right now, anything in your body is going to align to the truth of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we will have healings and we will have miracles as we discern the body of Jesus Christ. So let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I want you to get a picture in your mind. I know most people watch the Passion of the Christ, and it is brutal. But it's not as brutal as it really was. As brutal as it is, it's the realist depiction of the price of what our Lord paid for us. And yet it says that you couldn't even tell who he was. He was marred so much. He didn't even resemble anything. He looked unrecognizable. And so as we discern the Lord's body, we understand that by his stripes, by all of that he took it in our place, but he took it with purpose. And it tells us in Peter that he took it so that we were healed. We were healed. In that moment, he provided healing for you. So if you have sickness or disease in your body right now, as we partake of understanding the sacrifice of Jesus' flesh, that we apply it to every area of our life, every part of our body, and we declare healing. And we declare healing for those that are lying on hospital beds right now, that are asking for help and for survival. We send the reality of this, even as we are more aware right now of what Jesus provided through his broken body, we send the reality of that into your hospital rooms, into wherever you are, into your homes, and we speak the healing power of the stripes that were taken on your behalf, and we declare healing to you, healing to your bodies, healing to your mind, healing against the plague of worry and fear and doubt. And we announce the freedom that he alone brings forth right now. We announce healing to the nations. Lord, we announce that this is going further than just in this room. It's going further than this church family. It's going further than the body of Christ. It is invading in the atmosphere, and it is the reality of who you are and what you've provided is speaking now. It's speaking to the whole world that the blood and the brokenness of our Lord Jesus Christ is enough to bring healing
to bring whatever healing is necessary. And so we release it. We release it to the atmosphere and we send it out all over the world. We send the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what his sacrifice brought in real time, right now, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you have won this victory for us. You have won this victory for us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for it, Lord. We declare our healing. We declare the healing of our nation. We declare the healing of other nations. We declare the healing of our minds. We declare the healing of our bodies. We declare the healing power that is being unleashed right now to all who need it, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. And then, after the same manner, Jesus also took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. Do this, and as often as you do it, drink it in remembrance of me." Drink it in remembrance of me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes." So, Lord, right now we understand the power of your blood. We concentrate on the power of your blood. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. We thank you that your blood has broken the power over death, over hell, over the grave. We declare that your blood will never, ever, ever lose its power. Lord, we partake of this cup announcing that there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your blood. Now, Father, we give you thanks. For everything that you provided for us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we declare that we are blessed of you today. Lord, we confess that this is the day that we receive the blessing. We're not looking for the blessing, but we receive the blessing. We thank you that we are entering into the new and better covenant. When we entered into the new birth, when we entered into receiving Jesus Christ as Lord, we also became partakers of great and precious promises. And we are partaking of those promises right now by faith. We declare that we are healed. We declare that we are redeemed. We declare that we are delivered by the authority of God. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. We thank you that we are the head, not the tail. We are above, not beneath. We are coming behind in no good thing. And we set our hands to prosper. We set our hands to prosper so that we can be your hands, Lord. We thank you that now we walk in freedom to walk where you want us to walk. Lord, we thank you that we will talk as you want us to talk. Lord, that we will become who you've always desired for us to be. More than conquerors, a light in the darkness, salt to the world, to make them thirsty for the things of you. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for the knowledge that you have given us today. We thank you for the symbolism that you have unveiled. Lord, we thank you that you have uncovered our eyes, that way long ago, you foreshadowed the very victory of Calvary. And we honor you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord, and we walk in that victory now in Jesus' name. Lord, we collect our faith together now. We collect our faith in the purity of who you are and what you have accomplished. And Lord, we declare that this Passover is a great Passover. But Lord, we also declare that we will not forget, that we will have in our remembrance what you have delivered us from, that we will not walk away and back into our lives the way that we came out of them. But Lord, we take this communion today and we call this a place of demarcation, a place where we threw ourselves in a place of sacrifice to you, Lord, that we gave up our rights to represent you, that we became one with your suffering as you gave everything for us. We give everything back to you. And so, Lord, me and you, you and me, becomes a reality. We thank you for it and we honor you. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for the newness of life that we enjoy, Lord, and for the power that is already pre-planned for our deliverance, and we declare it to be done today. And so, Lord, we come into this place to worship you and to honor you, to give praise to your name and to honor your shed blood, your victory. And we thank you for it. We're going to worship now. Let's just take time to worship.
My love. is a river, a river, a river that never runs dry. Oh, there is a river, a river, a river that never runs dry. There is a river, a river, a river that never runs, never runs.
Lord says, even as you come to celebrate me and to acknowledge the power that was unleashed on the day of Calvary, I hung there with a weightiness that belonged to you. But I took the weightiness of your sin upon my body. And as my body poured blood upon the ground, it would never stop bringing forth freedom to my sons and my daughters as they recognized the price that I paid. As they call upon my name and as they recognize their need to be free from sin. My faithfulness runs throughout all the land. The power of my blood still invades every place of darkness. The power that was unleashed on that day broke the enemy's back. It destroyed the power of darkness. It took away Satan's authority. As my authority and my name was lifted higher than any other name. And as you lift my name on high today, and as you acknowledge me as Jesus, your Lord and your Savior, I will come to bring salvation. Salvation to your body, salvation to your mind, salvation to your brokenness, salvation to your checkbook. I will come and invade the darkness where the enemy has tried to lock you down, and I will bring the freedom that you're crying for I have already finished it. When I cried, "It is finished," it was done. It is over. Come to me. Acknowledge the power that was unleashed that day. The power to be one with the Godhead. The power to understand there can be no more separation. The power to know that as you abide in me and my words abide in you, that you can ask what you will and it shall be done according to my Father. Declare my will, visibly known in heaven, to be visibly known on earth. Freedom, joy, peace, prosperity, love. No separation, no distancing needed. My blood bought it all back. The power of the blood remains as powerful as you will acknowledge it, as powerful as you will receive it. So acknowledge that it is running. See the river. See the river that was unleashed. See it going into every valley. See it climbing into every place where it needs to run. It's being released even now. It's being released. The power of the blood is being released into every avenue, into every place of society that needs to be redeemed, into every doctor's office, into every hospital, into every bed, into the air. Into the air. The Lord says, my power of my blood is enough to eradicate that which is trying to hover over this earth. Break it according to the power of my blood that was shed for your redemption. And declare your freedom and declare the freedom to others. I won't have to die again. I won't have to shed my blood again. It was once, and it was for all. It was for all. No matter what sin has been capable of, the curse is reversed. By my blood, by the power that is within it. So trust the power of my blood. Trust in the power of my blood. If you can't trust anything else, look to the cross. Look to the cross and trust the power in my blood. And you will see the salvation that I have brought. So taste and see that I am good and that my mercy, it does endure forever to every generation. For I am the Lord that faileth not. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you and we worship you. And Lord, we see by the eyes of the Spirit the power that is running all over to bring freedom and deliverance wherever it is needed. We thank you for it and we love you. We love you and we receive your love right now. We receive it. We receive your forgiveness, Lord, for all the sins that we could never cover in our own strength. We receive the power of your blood that washes us clean right now. Right now. That we will not live under bondage of the oppressor. But Lord, we break free with the power of the blood that you shed. We thank you for it, Lord. There's the only way we can honor you, Lord, for this sacrifice is to not only accept it, but to live our lives and bring others to know you, Lord. We go after the only thing that we can bring with us to eternity, and that is souls. Lord, I pray that you are turning us around into being voices of freedom that call forth people out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we call forth your salvation. We glorify your name in it, Lord. We glorify your name in it, Lord. And we praise you today. We praise you tonight. We praise you tomorrow. We praise you until the wind has ceased. And we thank you that you have this in your righteous right hand. We honor you, Lord. Oh, Lord, worthy. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. You're high, you're lifted up, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We honor you, Lord. We see you where you are today, exalted one, sitting on your throne, Lord, making a way for us, Lord, making a way for all those that call upon your name, Lord. We thank you for we declare you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Encourage you this week that you continue to seek after him, that until you find him in a new way than you've ever experienced. And I mentioned the passion of the Christ as we approach Easter. It's I make myself watch it even though it's hard, because I want to be reminded to have that in remembrance. But there's another movie that you have plenty of time right now. It's one of my all-time favorites. In fact, from that movie, I named my daughter. My daughter's name is Tirza, and in the movie, Ben-Hur's sister is Tirza, and that's where I got her name. But the movie Ben-Hur is quite an amazing movie. And it is about unforgiveness and forgiveness. There are so many moments in that movie that Jesus is the difference. I think they wrote it for other reasons, but when I watched, the scene where Jesus was crucified in Ben-Hur, it changed my life forever. It was such a, it was a watershed moment to me to see the power of his blood unleashed. And so if you should fill your house with things that tell the story of redemption. Fill your house with movies that declare him. Watch the book of Matthew. Watch what is available. We have so many things that declare his glory available to us. So don't waste this season of pause. Don't waste it on things that do not edify the Lord, but instead build yourself up in your most holy faith by acknowledging him and letting him have place in every room in your house and every room in your heart. Oh, well, you know that I love you, but we know we can't ever love anybody as much as we love him, and we will never be able to fully understand how he loves us until we see him face to face. But we will. And until that day, we have to share the good news to go out and love somebody else to life. I know that there's going to be people that are needy when this comes to a culmination, and we need to be prepared to be the answer for these people. So put your trust and confidence in God. Believe him that you will have the ways and the means to be what you need to be to benefit other people. And he will bless you abundantly as he always does. And I bless you today for being here. I hope you understand and you received your own salvation, your own healing, your own freedom, and that you received it for everyone else.